K-Row, Illinois, the only station we're on, and I like that. I like K-Row, Illinois. Greetings to the people of K-Row, Illinois, the good people. I don't know that they're all good. I don't want to be collectivist, but if they're listening to this show, they're probably good. And my co-host tonight is Randy England, professor, Randy England Esquire, an attorney. How are you doing, Randy?
I am happy to be here, Michael.
Yeah, this you're
my most fun thing of the day.
Your internets were dropping out a little. We were trying to use Blink. It's a new program we're trying to use that works pretty well and sounds better than Skype, but we're getting dropouts. We're getting dropouts on Skype, too. As our board op, Nathan, said, somebody in your neighborhood is really hungry for a new season of something, and that's how the internets can work.
It was causing our Blink to blink.
Audio
oh,
blinks.
I didn't mean that. That was terrible.
that wasn't terrible. You don't need to apologize for that.
Blink, I think. Okay.
That was a terrible joke. It wasn't like you harmed anyone. You sounded like you think you harmed someone. Did you think you harmed someone?
I hope not.
Yeah. So there's an ad.
It wouldn't be on purpose.
There's an ad when we were coming on that said, say goodbye to the cable guy. And I was thinking, I kind of did, because Nima Vidotti used to be the co-host, and he's now a cable guy, and he said goodbye, and it takes a village to replace Nima Vidotti. And I was talking with Randy about Nima before the show, which is kind of like, you know, the time I went and saw Les Paul play music in New York City at a place called Fat Tuesdays, and he was sitting there with his band eating dinner during set between sets and was talking about Mary Ford, which was his wife and music partner, that died like decades earlier. And I'm not saying Nima's dead, and I'm not saying anything bad about Les Paul or his wife. I love Les Paul's music, and he was a great innovator. He invented a lot of the technology we're using. He invented a lot of effects units and double tracking and multi-tracking and all sorts of stuff. I tip my non-existent hat to Les Paul. But yeah, I guess I was still talking about Nima, but Nima's not dead. I could call him right now and wake him up if I wanted to. And he's only been gone about 3 months, but we have amassed quite a village to replace Nima Vidotti, including Randy England. And we, you are going to Porkfest next year, right?
I am going to go to Porkfest next year.
Good.
I've settled it in my mind, and I hope I still have time to make reservations.
We thought about, you do. I don't think they even have a definite set date yet, but as soon as they do, we're booking hotels and Porkfest tickets and then booking airline tickets, you know, a few months after that. You used to save a lot of money if you booked an airline ticket like 10 months in advance, but you don't anymore. It's about the same. So, you know, you save money if you book it a month in advance versus 2 days in advance. But yeah. So I was telling you about Nima Vidotti about, I don't even know if I want to say this on the radio. It's about me. It's not about him, but
you mean about him laughing at your jokes?
Yeah. I mean, we got along great and laughed at each other's jokes a lot, which is part of the reason we did a show together. But sometimes in doing live radio, you'll say something funny that the other person would laugh at if you were just sitting around talking, but they're thinking about keeping the radio show going, you know, clicking, and they forget to laugh because they're about to go into their thing or they're thinking about their thing. And I would actually, when this show was non-live, when it was a podcast, I would occasionally actually edit in Nima laughing after one of my jokes if he didn't laugh live on the air. And I had a folder of 5 or 6 different examples of Nima laughing so it wouldn't sound like the same canned one all the time. Yep. That's making the show. That's making the movie magic behind the scenes.
Only
keep it going. Keep it going.
Fraudulent. Keep it going. I am here.
Yeah. I'm not admitting to anything fraudulent.
I know. It was for your art. I understand.
Yeah. So you wanted to talk about, you there? Are you dropping out?
I am here. Can you hear me?
Yeah. So you wanted to talk about the history of radio.
Sure. There's some interesting things about radio.
Go ahead.
How the government took over the silly thing and that sort of thing. Well, you know, radio, I mean, it's been around for more than 100 years. I think it
Yeah, the 20s.
Was it voice over radio or sound over radio? Well, yeah, well, I mean, it was invented around 1900, but the first commercial radio station, I think, was started broadcasting 1920. That's right. And, you know, when they first sprang up, you know, the commercial radio stations, there was a federal law that went back, I don't know, to 1912 or something, that required you to get a license from the Commerce Department. But the trick was, anyone could get a license. All you had to do was just apply for one. And so stations just started flying up like crazy everywhere. And the guy who was the Secretary of Commerce was going to later be a president, Herbert Hoover. Ugh. But he was Secretary of Commerce in the 20s, in the mid-20s. And he liked to kind of tamp down and try to control who could be, who could have a radio station.
You know, Scott Horton has a saying, everything is Herbert Hoover's fault. Because a lot of people say everything that's wrong with America now is FDR's fault. But Herbert Hoover beat him to a lot of it. And everything is Herbert Hoover's fault. It's kind of an exaggeration, but there is a lot of truth to it.
Yeah, yeah. You know, Hoover, I mean, he was a big promoter of the technology of radio. You know, but he really believed that the government needed to control this, you know, what was a new medium at the time. But he got his behind kicked in court battles over him not giving out licenses like he was supposed to. And in 1926, he had to give up, and he thought, well, okay, my other strategy is that I'll give anybody a license, you know, that holds their hand out for one. And he started doing it. And it did cause problems. They were out everywhere, and you know, it ended up starting being a glut. And the first thing that happened, of course, is that a few lawsuits got filed, where one radio station that was already in existence was complaining about another one that was walking over their signal. I think they called them wave jumpers back then, and it was a bit of a problem, and so. In Chicago is where it came back up. Someplace, I think it was the Oak Leaves Broadcasting Station, started transmitting in Chicago at a frequency that was close to the one used by the Chicago Daily Tribune's own radio station, which is WGN, which stood for World's Greatest Newspaper. But the Tribune filed a lawsuit complaining that this Oak Leaves station was transmitting a frequency, you know, so close to the WGN signal that it was causing interference. And they alleged that the Oak Leaves was trampling on WGN's property rights. And this is kind of interesting because basically they're saying, we were here first, we plowed the ground here, and this is our frequency. And the state court in Illinois agreed with the Tribune and said that WGN was the first user of that particular frequency range in that area. The court said, the court said they were compelled to recognize rights which have been acquired by reason of the outlay and expenditure of money and the investment of time. We are of the further opinion that under the circumstances, in this case, priority of time creates a superiority in right. In other words, you could homestead your frequency. This is good libertarian stuff. And the court accepted this idea. The first person to occupy and use a particular resource or frequency in an area was its legal owner. And this was really a neat idea. People latched on to it, but at the same time, Congress was getting into action, and people were getting upset about other stations coming in, interfering with their favorite station, and started getting after Congress. And you had this, a lot of lawsuits going on, and after this Oak Leaves WGN decision came down, it looked like they were headed in a way to solve the problem without government involvement. I mean, if you don't count the courts as government involvement, but all the courts were doing were settling a dispute between two private parties. So, you know, that's something you'd have in any society. And the decision was, you know, really praised all around, but Congress jumped in and started passing laws, and they just took control of it. I mean, they just passed a resolution real quickly. They stripped 500 radio stations of their licenses immediately, basically ripping the property rights away from them, and nationalized the airwaves even after the solution through the courts had presented itself. And that's how they got a hold of the thing. And within another year, they passed more and more, and they ended up taking over all of the airwaves. And not only, of course, they started controlling content, you know, as well as who could be on the air. And it was, there was a solution at hand, and they just came in and snatched it away.
Yeah, and the FCC, which I don't think even existed then, it was the Department of Commerce, but later, you know, as government is wont to do, they had to form, you know, for every sliver of society, they have to form a new army of bureaucrats and arm them. I mean, these days, like FCC people have guns or bring people with guns when they go to serve some notice. But the thing is, if it weren't, you know, people say, I have a friend who is a minarchist libertarian gun guy who's just incredibly solid on everything. And he is adamantly against any gun laws. He literally believes, you know, guns should be sold in vending machines to children. And he carries a gun. He's kind of a cowboy type. And he's also a ham radio operator. And he pretty much believes there shouldn't be any government except to control the radio waves. He's a minarchist only for that. And he believes that without the government, everybody would be stepping on everybody. The thing is, without the government at this point, I think technology would have advanced so much further that radio, there would be technological solutions. I mean, for instance, with digital broadcasting, which has been held up and prevented from growing very much by FCC regulation and other regulations, you can put like 100 really high quality radio stations on the amount of bandwidth that currently takes one terrestrial radio station. And you could probably at this point have some sort of encrypted key in there that would signal, or even unencrypted key that would be like, if somebody steps on your signal, the transmitter and receiver would jump to the next available signal. I can imagine something like basically using the radio waves like the internet, routing around censorship. But no.
You're listening to The Freedom Fiends, an invigorating alternative to those other shows.
Hey, this is Nathan Explosion from Death Clock, and you're listening to The Freedom Fiends on the radio worms.
Come on, Garrett. Michael Dean, Freedom Fiend, broadcasting from my windowless bathroom. we're talking to Randy England here tonight, and we have a guest. He's a guy named Garrett calling from Maryland. Have you ever called the show before, Garrett?
I've been a big fan of Freedom Fiends for a long time.
Cool.
And I'm honored to be on the show tonight.
Excellent, excellent.
I'm glad. I'm also honored to not be in your windowless bathroom.
Well, first of all, Michael, do you have a vent in that bathroom that's windowless? Or?
Yeah. We have central air. So we were talking about regulation and the tyrannies. I mean, like, do I even want to go back to this? We're having so much fun just talking about anything but the government.
We're talking about the government, though.
I think there should be a T-shirt called "I blame the that says "I blame the governments." Just that, "I blame the governments."
You know, there was one interesting thing about when the government took over the airwaves.
Yeah.
Do you know who was probably happiest about the government taking it over? The public didn't care whether
the devil.
he probably was. I mean, the public didn't care who solved this wave jumper problem, whether it was the courts or whether it was the Congress. But the people that were really happy were the people that already had big successful radio stations, and they love seeing 500 stations have their license stripped. And you know something else they were getting ready to do right at the same time was move the AM dial from being, 1,600 all the way up to 2,000 kilohertz, I think. And they got Congress to shelve that because it left less room on the radio spectrum and less competition. Just, it's a classic ploy you know, of every occupational licensing scheme and monopoly in government.
Well, I heard it,
that too.
I heard an interesting take on it today. It was one of the co-hosts on the show this afternoon. I'm not sure if it was Davi or John. I think it might have been Davi, but or Jack. But I've never really looked at it this way. You know, the power, they say the power to regulate is the power to deny. But taking it even further, the power to grant licenses, when the government decides to grant licenses and things, they're not really just regulating things. They're basically outlawing something completely and then allowing exceptions to it at their whimsy.
If you don't have a license, you're a criminal.
Yeah, yeah. So what say you, gentlemen?
Randy, was that if I ever get in trouble, I need to know, if I ever get in trouble, Randy, can I call you?
You should call me. Call me immediately.
Okay. Right.
So the fiends have counsel.
And if the charges are actually in my county, I might even be able to help you.
Although, but you can practice in federal courts anywhere in the country, can't you?
You know, that's a good question. I'm licensed to practice in federal court here where I am in mid-Missouri, in the Western District of Missouri. But I don't know if I'm allowed to go all over or not. I never had the desire.
You should probably look that up before you start having the fiends call you in the middle of the night from a federal holding cell.
Well, you know, federal law, though, is the same. You know, it's the same law everywhere in the country. So it's not quite as dangerous as advising people from other states when they probably know their law better than you do.
Maybe. Everyone thinks they know the law. Cops don't even know the law.
I mean, Garrett, did you say you're from Maryland?
Absolutely. Right down here in Baltimore, hon.
Garrett, get a little closer to your mic, please.
I've never even been
down here
Maryland.
In Baltimore, hon.
Do they still have slavery there? See, I've never been there. I know nothing about this.
No, not in the
conventional sense.
Okay, well, you soft call slavery. Me at your it's own risk, slavery. And your advice will be worth what you pay for.
Right? So, Randy, back to go ahead, Garrett.
Go on, Michael.
Back to radio and the government and what's wrong with it.
Well, you know, as soon as they got control of it, you know, they started denying licenses because they didn't like the content of it. There, in 1940, they passed I don't think they passed the law, but they established this thing they called the Mayflower Doctrine, which would deny renewals to any station that expressed political opinions.
Oh man, that is not the case anymore. Somehow, I think we're in this weird window of radio that's going to end. I think it's going to be all state all the time in a couple of years. And we'll go back. We'll crawl back to the internet. All right, worms.
Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean. This is what radio sounds like now.
When you shop online, please do it through the Freedom Fiends Amazon link over on the right side of freedomfiends.com. It won't cost you any extra, and the fiends will get a little taste from Amazon, and Amazon will save you the danger of drive-by stabbings at your local mall. Amazon sells pretty much everything you can buy on this earth, except for guns and weed. But they do sell the DVD Guns and Weed, The Road to Freedom. So get that for your gun-hating stoner brother or neocon gun nut dad. They'll thank you for it. That's freedomfiends.com. Freedom, Foxtrot, Echo, November, Sierra.com.
Oh, yeah.
Michael Dean, Freedom Fiend, broadcasting live and worldwide from my windowless bathroom. We got a sound check there. Let me hear you. Guys, we hear Garrett. He's laughing. So, Randy, you there, Randy?
I'm here. Is this a sound check? Testing. 1, 2, 3.
Yeah, we're going to try Blink. We're going to try to see if Blink.
All right.
It's, you know, it may sound better, even though it's going to still cut out because Randy's internets are broken or something. I don't know. I think somebody's downloading all the latest episodes of Law & Order SVU in his neighborhood. So, what do you guys want to talk about?
Michael, please tell me you don't trap your kitties in the bathroom with you.
No. I shut the door, and they stand outside the bathroom with this look that says, "It harms me when you shut the bathroom door."
They don't know that you're doing them a favor.
Hey, Randy, get a little further from your mic, Randy. I'm going to do some on-the-fly sound adjusting here.
Am I still too hot for you?
No. Go ahead, Randy.
Okay. Well, there we are. Are you still doing sound checks there? Are we doing Blink?
I don't know. Yeah, we are doing Blink, apparently.
We are doing Blink. Okay. Yeah.
And, you know, don't let this scare anyone away from Blink. Don't say, oh, they're having troubles. But no, it's more like I'm getting 12 people up and running with a new program that is a completely different interface than any of us are used to. So we're working out the bugs live on the air.
This is a learning center.
Yeah, it's a learning. This is
a learning center.
Learning hospital. Yes, it is. Yep. So,
and since the first half hour of the show was done on Skype and now we're on Blink, you can go back later and see what the difference was.
You need to get a little further from your mic, Randy, like an inch further, because you're way louder than Garrett, who apparently doesn't have any audio control.
Is that better?
Yeah, so we're talking about radio. We're talking about radio in a meta capacity while fine-tuning radio, because, you know, this is how people learn. They learn by listening to this, so... Talk more about the regulations of the radios, Randy, and how that came about and what the result is today.
Well, you know, they kept on, you know, basically stepping on people you know, the rules of broadcasting. One time they refused a broadcast a license to the New York Daily News, I think in 1947, because the American Jewish Congress the FCC to deny the license because they said the paper was biased against minorities. And a little later, I think in 1954, they imposed a political test to grant a license and said that they had character and candor requirements for giving out licenses. And they had both the right and the responsibility, this is the FCC, to inquire into one's past associations, activities, and beliefs before you could get a license or get renewed. And they shut down a guy in Hawaii in 1970 because he was broadcasting libertarian programs.
Wow.
And I say they shut him down. He went broke with the legal costs in fighting their decision. So he eventually shut down.
You're not talking about a pirate radio station, right? You're talking about a guy on FCC licensed talk radio.
Totally legit.
Did he own the station, or was he a local radio host?
No, I think this is the owner went broke fighting the FCC's decision and had to shut down, and it was because he was broadcasting libertarian programs.
Man, we've come a long way, baby. I feel like we're in a golden age of radio because for some reason there's people on the radio nonstop. I mean, you know, we were discussing the other day. I mean, we talk about things that are illegal all the time and say there shouldn't be a law against them, and we're very open and bold about it. And, you know, I mean, we're looking at the history of radio here, and it's like people have been kicked off of radio for saying, you know, in World War II or Vietnam, like, there shouldn't be a war. War is bad. And they get kicked off the radio. And here we're saying, like, you know, we're not saying it's time, polish your bayonets. But people are saying that. I mean, Alex Jones, you know, says often that the answer to 1984 is 1776. You know, there's people that are, you know, I don't know if there's people calling for revolution, but I've heard congresswomen calling for revolution. I mean, it's an interesting time to be alive is what I'm trying to say.
Well, if it were 1917 and they had radio up, it would have been worse than getting kicked off the air. You'd have been thrown in prison for opposing the war at that time.
Which of the wars?
Well, World War One. You know,
people were
Woodrow Wilson.
People were thrown in jail.
A lot of people
for not liking the wars.
You could very easily be thrown in jail because your comments could be taken to discourage people from obeying the draft or something.
Yeah,
and that would be the end of it for you. You know, the thing that really has changed now, and talking about the way radio might have grown up but didn't because Congress took it over in 1927. Is you look at the internet, which did grow up mostly without regulation, and now instead of there being 100 or 500 or 1,000 radio stations, you can have a million websites.
Yeah, there's something like a half a billion with a B websites in the world.
That's just completely out of control, you know, for the government. It's really tough.
They're trying to rein it in. They're trying to put the cow back in the barn, but yeah. And the FCC wants to get involved in it. And, of course, when they can't do it through traditional means, they find a backdoor way of doing it. And what they're trying to do now is push net neutrality, which is this whole scheme to control the internet, which basically ends up with what you have in Canada or England, where you have a set amount of – it's very socialist. You have like a ration of internets you're allowed, and it's far below – you know, I pay like $40 a month for really fast internet, and I'm like constantly torrenting up and down and doing radio shows and doing a whole bunch of throughput. Like literally that would cost you in England like $500 a month to do, and they're trying to do that here. And the bizarre, really sick thing about it is they've got a lot of young people behind it. And a lot of like internet savvy people behind it who think net neutrality will keep those horrible corporations from stealing our internets. But it's really more like there needs to be completely unfettered, unregulated competition, which would deal with both problems.
Because you're Michael, assuming that if they're
what's that?
Go ahead, Garrett.
Michael, I know you have it. Randy, I'm not familiar with your. Do you have any sort of military background or anything? Like, were you invoked in any of this stuff in the past years or anything?
No, I wasn't. I got a high enough lottery number that they did not get me and send me to Vietnam. I'm still grateful.
Lucky you.
Yes. Okay. Yes.
Okay. All right. I'm just curious because, like, Michael, you bring up a good thing here. Like, yeah, anybody with an Xbox controller now can fly a drone. It seems to me that those are the people that they're trying to. Well, absolutely, yeah. I mean, that's part of the reason these video games have become so important to the military themselves. They want to find out who's really good at this form of warfare.
There was a science fiction movie about that.
Okay,
you remember that one? Only it was aliens that came.
Okay.
No, aliens came, planted a video game.
I'm a big fan of movies.
This was back in the 80s before they had much home video. But the aliens came, planted a video machine in some park or something, and then came and scooped up all the kids that got the highest scores on the game so they could be pilots for their fighters.
Yeah, that sounds familiar.
Sure.
Yeah. Sure.
Oh man, I think I know what movie you're talking about.
No, the title of it escapes me.
War Games is about Broderick, a hacker who hacks into the Pentagon's computer system and thinks he's playing a simulation, and he's actually almost triggering World War III. Great movie.
Yeah, it was a good movie. Yeah, they did a remake of it too.
I missed that.
It bugs me too. Because I sit there and I play some of these war games with these, like, you know, 10, 11-year-old kids, and they're cursing me out like, like they have no idea what they're talking about. But they're, you know, they're not even into high school yet, and they will kill me. No problem.
Do you remember, Randy, maybe probably more likely than Garrett, do you remember a sci-fi, not a sci-fi movie, it was like a B-movie, a really cheap, sensational movie from about 1970, and the basic plot in the movie is that the voting age gets reduced to like 12 or something like that, and the kids take over, and, you know, it becomes a paradise, which is really insane, because I think if the kids voted, I don't know, who knows, they might make better decisions than adults. Have you seen that?
I don't think it would make any difference. I don't think it'd make any difference. You know, nothing got any better when women got the vote, so why would it get any better when kids did?
That's not necessarily a statement on women shouldn't have had the vote. Nobody should have the vote. There shouldn't be
No, I didn't mean that. I'm just saying, you know, the 20th century was the bloodiest mess we've ever seen. And, you know, not that women caused it, but they sure as heck didn't prevent it.
Well, you know, they say there's a common feminist saying from the 60s that, you know, if women were in charge, there'd be no wars. I think that's been proven wrong, because basically, like, what equal opportunity has meant in the past decade is that the man is now a woman, you know, which is like you have Condoleezza Rice killing brown babies in Africa, and pretty soon you're going to have Hillary Clinton with her finger on the button, and things aren't going to get better or more peaceful for the average person anywhere in the world. And there are some who have argued that when women got the vote, that's when a lot more nanny laws started to get put in, you know, because, oh no, we must ban switchblades and, you know, playing skateboarding without knee pads and guns and everything, you know, because they want to protect the children.
Okay, well, now you have crossed the line over into, yes, now it's worse. You know, there was a there was an Outer Limits episode, I believe it was. There was an Outer Limits episode that it was based on a society where I think most of the men were slaughtered and there were only women, and women, a few men were used for breeding or something, and everything was supposed to be really great because there were only women. And as you might guess, things weren't really that great.
Yeah, because the women started acting like men, because it's the power that corrupts, not the chromosomes.
Sarah Palin.
I think that was the point.
Oh, God. Yeah, she's called for a revolution. Why does she have a Minnesota accent when she's from Alaska? That's what I want to know. All right, we'll be back. We'll get her back. I mean, we'll be back. We're not getting her back.
Listening to Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and some of his weird friends. And yes, we're broadcasting this into space.
Hey, this is Squisgar Squigelts from Death Clocks. And you are listening to the Freedom Fiends on the, you know, the radios. And I guess I says worms now, so there you go.
You've read books, attended lectures, and you know the Constitution well enough to know it's a well-crafted blueprint to create an ever-increasing federal empire. But there's still one thing missing.
Buttons!
Freedom Fiends now has buttons. You'll get state speech as hate speech, guns and weed, by sheep or sheep on sheep, and two designs for the Freedom Fiends. Wear them with pride. Use them to start conversations with statists.
It's only $5
for 10 buttons, including shipping. Go to freedomfiends.com and click on the link at the top that says buttons.
What does freedom mean? Tune in to LRN.FM to find out. LRN.FM is the Liberty Radio Network, a collection of live talk radio and podcasts, all coming from a principled pro-liberty perspective. LRN.FM show hosts aren't left, right, or conspiracy kooks. You can tune in 24/7 to LRN.FM via your phone, computer, satellite, and more. Listen free anytime at LRN.FM. That's LRN.FM.
Hey guys, what's up?
What's up, gentlemen? This is Michael Dean, broadcasting from an infinite dimension. Into your cerebellum. What was that? What is that? What is that horrible noise? Gentlemen?
I think that was a wampus cat.
Ah, okay, you are the wampus cat. All right, so what do you guys want to talk about? Quick, snappy, on your foot, on your fingers, on your head.
Snappy there.
Hold on.
What do you want?
I've got a question for Randy.
Or someone else here.
Yeah. No, it's just me.
Need some more legal advice? Yes.
Lethal advice. Yeah, Garrett's got a question for Andy, though. Go ahead, Garrett.
I do. It's good on air.
I'm standing by right here. Actually, I'm sitting, but that's okay.
I just want to find out if you've filled out your order form for a rep heart set.
Oh, I have not done that yet, and I'm still stewing about it.
Are you really thinking of buying a rep wrap 3D printer?
It looks pretty neat.
How much are they for the kit?
Let's talk about this. Wait.
Go ahead, Garrett. Totally I couldn't get Garrett to actually this, say.
No, it's because I don't want to scare anybody off.
Okay, speak up a little bit, Garrett, and tell us about rep wraps.
All right, here's the microphone up in my face. Is that better? Do I sound better now?
Yeah, go ahead.
All right, well, the main thing I wanted to find out was whether or not I have fellow freedom fiends that want to get involved in this project or not.
Not I.
Michael, I know you've got I know you've got way too much.
Too many hobbies already.
Totally understandable.
Too many expensive, complicated, computer-oriented hobbies already. But thank you for thinking of me.
Well, as a matter of fact, not only will you be able to sell buttons, you'll be able to sell keychains, you'll be able to sell bottle openers, you'll be able to sell all kinds of stuff if we get into this 3D printing world.
Okay. You sound like a salesman, but maybe you're just an evangelist. Is that the case?
I prefer entrepreneur.
All right. So tell us more about it. Keep the conversation going here, brother.
Okay. Well, Randy, you and I had talked recently a lot about this whole 3D printing world. And I know you find yourself as a bit of a tinkerer, not so much into the mechanical aspect of everything, but I mean, you like tinkering around with computers and stuff, you know, plugging.
Yeah, I'm not sure if I'm enough of a I'm not sure if I'm enough of a tinkerer to get in there with a soldering iron. I really like computers and don't mind dealing with boards and connections, but I'm not sure what the level of expertise is for this 3D printer that's so darn cheap.
See, that's the great thing about this program that I'm involved in. And I don't like to use the word program either. It's very much, everything is open source in this world, okay? So people understand that sometimes people like to solder into PCB boards and they like to source their own components. And, you know, like we're talking transistors, we're talking like, you know, like little itty bitty components that need to be soldered into a PCB board. You don't have to go that route. You can buy the brains of these 3D printers inside. You know, like you can order this whole like assembled kit together, and they'll tell you this needs to hook up to this sort of thing. There's a very well-spoken community. It's much like the Freedom Fiends blog that I don't know how many people here are familiar with, but you know, it's like Michael. You know, you have this entire Freedom Fiends blog going on.
Yeah,
talking about how to do this show together and said, yeah, exactly. And the RepRap community has the exact same thing going on. There's people that are they're so excited to answer your questions about all of this stuff.
Excellent. We'll be back with more on hour two of the Freedom Fiends after this trip to the market, the free market. Worms.
Go ahead. You can print out plastic kitties.
Kitties. And cat toys. thanks a lot.
Oh, Derek. There you go. Yeah.
Thanks a lot. Good stuff. This is Michael Dean from the Freedom Fiends. I've been on the World Wide Web since its inception in 1994. I've tried dozens of web providers in that time. The only one that hasn't broken my heart is HostGator. HostGator has unlimited server space, unlimited throughput, and a guaranteed uptime of better than 99.9% for only $150 a year. You can pay a little less elsewhere, but you'll pull out your hair dealing with anyone else. HostGator has great service and unlimited tech support, only a phone call away, 24/7, 365. HostGator is where pros like the Fiends host, because we know how to do it right. Go to freedomfiends.com and click on the HostGator affiliate link on the right sidebar to sign up today. Not really a toilet joke. It's just kind of that's the sound that sounds like you're in a little tiled small room. So talking here with Randy England. Hello, Randy England.
Hello, Michael.
Yeah. And
good evening.
We had to jettison some flotsam and jetsam. We had to kick Garrett Fox to the road. He was not intoxicated, he claims, but his computer was, and his latency, which doesn't mean he's secretly homosexual. It means that he has latency in the amount of time it takes for the signal to get from us to him, was 750 milliseconds in each second, which is unacceptable. And it may be my fault. I don't really know. I don't know which computer was doing it, but it made it so there was about a second and a half delay between if I said something to him and he immediately replied, there was a second and a half. And most people need about a second to think before they reply. So it brought it up to 2.5 or 3 seconds. And it made him sound not smart. And he's very smart. Or made him, you know, it wasn't very conversational. And that is an issue with doing voice over IP. There's always some latency. And actually, the more latency you set it for, the better the signal is. Because it's hard for computers to cram a bunch of bytes correctly into a short period of time. They need more time to do it. So it's a trade-off between good audio quality and sounding smart and sounding conversational. So, you know, this isn't Free Talk Live where you have the largest amount of liberty people in the world in one bedroom. We're all in different states, and we actually have people in different countries on sometimes. So we're working it out. We're working out the bugs. We're trying different things. We're trying to make it so it's easy to do a pretty good sounding radio show with hosts that aren't all in the same place. Because, you know, the world has gotten a lot bigger. It used to be pretty small. I mean, literally, my dad, you know, for the first like 40 years of his life, he never traveled outside the county or, you know, a 2-county area from where he was born. And that's how a lot of the world was. You know, people married the person they met who lived next door. You didn't have the options they have today. They worked with people in towns they lived in. They couldn't work across the miles. And now we can do radio across the miles. And it's a pretty cool thing. And I want to say something about how I edit these shows. This is an editing tip for anybody doing recorded media. I do this really quickly and really efficiently, but I do a lot of work on each episode. I go through and do a lot of things. I cut out, you know, I start and stop recording each segment. I don't record the ads. I put in our own ads later. And so I have to edit out the half second, you know, at the beginning and at the end of each one. And if I miss it and start recording after it's into the segment, then I have to do a little fade up. And then I have to, I basically get 8 files for each 2-hour show, you know, of each of the segments. And then I go through each one and I visually look for spaces where there's like a gap, you know, where somebody thought for a long time before they answered for like a second or two. And I chop those out. I chop them down to, you know, a quarter second or something. And it's really, I do it really naturally. It took a lot of work to get it to do it with a natural flow, but it really makes it more listenable. You know, even if you take out, oh, I'll take out like 40 of those, you know, in a 2-hour show. And I do it really quickly. I do that in about 10 minutes or less while I'm doing everything else, all the what I call the fluffing and folding. And taking out even like 45 seconds of silence from a 2-hour show really makes it a lot more listenable, you know, because it's actually not a 2-hour show. It's like an hour and 17 minute show after you take all the ads out. And then we put our ads back in and it's an hour and, oh, 20 something. I don't know. But I'm going to have to do a bunch of that on that last segment there because there were like some 5-second pauses between when I would talk or Randy would talk and Garrett would start to talk. But it's not his fault. It's just a bunch of a perfect storm of things came together to make it not very conversational. And this is a teaching hospital. We've done great shows with Garrett. We will do great shows again with Garrett. But I'm just giving people a hint out there in radio and podcast land. If you do a podcast, you might want to think about that. I don't overdo it. Sometimes I'll even edit out an or an ah that's really long when somebody's leading into something. But I don't go through and listen to the whole thing. I do that all visually. I expand the timeline of each segment, look for those long pauses, and cut them down to about a quarter as long as they are. And then when I'm done, I sew all the segments together. I put markers between them so I can see where they are. I normalize the sound to, I think it's negative 10 dB, whatever the setting is in SoundForge. There's one also setting for it in Audacity, which is a free program a lot of people use. And that makes them louder and more even in volume. And that makes it sound a lot more professional also. And we also use, I use good, you know, tube preamp input. I use some effects just to mess around with. I have a mixing board where I will on the fly, like if somebody suddenly gets louder because they're more agitated or more excited or more happy, I'll turn them down a little bit. And there's a board op at GCN who does a little bit of that too. So the whole thing is kind of a big balancing act on the fly while thinking at the same time and trying to be smart and intelligent and funny and radically libertarian without getting thrown into a cage. It's a big balancing act, and to do it six nights a week is kind of mind-blowing. I'm amazed that we pull this off sometimes. See, I just turned my treble down a little bit. I was getting a little sibilant, so I turned it down a little bit on the fly. And you probably don't hear the difference on your end. You might, because, you know, it goes through a lot of compression between here and Burnsville, Minnesota, where GCN is, and up to the satellites orbiting the Earth, and then down to the radio station in Cairo. We're doing all this for you, Cairo. So, Randy, you wanted to talk about the police and what you don't like about them.
Well, sure. Although I did want to clarify one thing. Garrett, since you had to throw Garrett overboard for the good of the rest of the crew and the ship,
yes,
he's Jetsam, right? And since we're still floating, he wouldn't be Flotsam. Is that right?
Yeah, yeah.
I want to get it right, but it was a noble sacrifice.
He's a good guy, but yeah.
It was a sacrifice for the good of the collective.
Boy, that sounded communist,
that
man. But, you know, actually, this is a private organization, so it's not communist. It's the opposite of communism. If it were communism, it would be just anybody could call in and talk all the time. Kind of like Free Talk Live. No, I'm kidding. I can't do open phones. They do a great job with it, and they're not communist, and they're completely the opposite of that. But I don't love open phones, man. I listened to Free Talk Live a couple days ago, and I was just like, everyone was calling in about immigration. And it sounded like all the callers sounded like they were calling the Glenn Beck show. And I'm like, I don't want to listen to this. I certainly don't want to listen to it on my show. I guess Free Talk Live does do it. They do a good service by being patient with those people. I would jettison those people as soon as they started talking.
And they're just talking about it because they've been watching the news and they know that's what they're supposed
and
they're, to
and their blood is boiling
about.
Yeah, it's basically yeah, I mean, the Obama administration is using children as weapons. You know, they're using them as human shields to put through their socialism. And I'm not anti-immigration. I'm pro, like, total open borders immigration. But the day before you do that, you'd have to take away all of the government for me to want that. Which is not to say, it kind of puts me in a conundrum, because that's my libertarian paradise answer. And then people say, well, what do you want to do since there's still a government? You know, and it's like, I guess my answer is like, my answer doesn't really matter because I'm not the one making the decisions and they don't care what I think.
And you can't think of everything. Come on.
Yeah. I'd rather work on improving the audio quality of radio shows that are done from different locations. You know, this is a bold experiment. Nobody's really doing this. I mean, I guess they do it on the mainstream news, but people still have to go into, you know, the local affiliate office to do it. Or, you know, sometimes on TV I see they'll have some expert calling in on Skype video, but it sounds horrible because people don't even know to go out and buy a $55 microphone, which we advertise on our site over on the sidebar. It says, get the great microphone our co-hosts use. And Randy's using one, and they sound pretty good. They can sound better when the internet's aligned, but yeah, go ahead, man. Police.
Well, you know, you could have, if there was an audio quality touring test or something, the way that it would work would, we would be talking and we would pretend that we were in the same studio together, and you would see if anyone could tell that we weren't.
Well, Nima and I sounded like we were in the same studio, and I want to work on getting back to doing that. And it would cost some money to do, though, for 12 people, but I'm thinking of doing it.
I think you did sound, because I remember when I first listened to the Freedom Fiends, I thought that you were together.
Yep.
It was really good.
Yep. Well, we were using...
I mean,
We were not using free software. We were using software that costs money. And Nima is also, you know, Nima and I are both audio engineers and musicians. So we did a lot of work on getting things perfect. You know, we weren't using $55 microphones. We're using $500 microphones, things like that. And we have preamps, we have compressors. You guys don't have that, but there's a little bit of electronic compression built into those microphones, actually, but not a whole lot.
Sure. If you'd had said that Neben was giving you a back rub, I would have believed it. And I said.
Yep. And, you know, I really think part of it is that, like, we'd met in person. We'd hung out at my house and done the whole show together. And I hadn't met any of the fiends until Porkfest. And now I've met like 10/12 of you. I've never met you. I'm looking forward to meeting you at Porkfest. I've never met Jack Johnson. And I'm really looking forward to meeting both you guys. I hope he'll come. I don't know why he wouldn't. It's a lot closer for him. But, you know, those hill folk in Appalachia don't like to leave the county, I think.
Hey, here's something I would appreciate, and maybe a lot of the listeners would appreciate. The picture on the website that has all the people that were there.
You want to be photoshopped? You want to be photoshopped into it?
No. Well, first of all, if you could label who is who, that would be kind of neat. I mean, I know who most of them are, but I figured it out. But
well, I thought about that. I'll probably do that on the FAQ page, not on the front page, because it'll be kind of weird and obtrusive, because I like to keep it simple on the front page.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I'll Photoshop myself until next year, and I'll look at that one. Anyone else to it.
Who don't you know who they are? I'll say on the air left or right who they are, but who don't you
Who's
know?
Who's the guy on the far left with the beard?
The mountain man-looking guy?
Well, not Ben Stone.
No, it's the guy on the far left is Sean Diwali, our torrent master.
Oh.
Everybody else in this picture, except DJ, is a co-host. And DJ is the fiend behind the scene, and she does the voice on all the ads. And she helps me out with things and helps me write things. And she is a co-host, actually. Sometimes today, I couldn't get my co-hosts on for the first 5 minutes. And I said, hey, honey, come here and talk. And she talked about Porkfest at the beginning of the show. We'll be back.
We hear her voice all the time. Coming right up, right?
Yep, worms.
Worms.
You and the hamster in your brain are listening to Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and his weird friends.
This is the Central Scrutinizer. I steal your labor by force through taxation.
My job is to spy on you and keep you from hearing things like the Freedom Fiends. I especially do not want you to
torrent Freedom Fiends episodes to keep them drone-proof. Do not go to freedomfiends.com and click on the torrent link and learn how to torrent Fiends archives. Do not go to freedomfiends.com and click on the torrent link and learn how to torrent Fiends archives. Do not go to freedomfiends.com and click on the torrent link and learn how to torrent Fiends archives.
Bathroom. All right. So, Randy. Are you there, Randy?
Michael.
Yeah. So,
I am here.
We're going to call this episode I Blame the Governments, because I just blame all of them for everything. It's all the government's fault. That should be a t-shirt. Davi's going to make it. It's going to say, I blame the governments. He doesn't have to make it. I mean, I gave it to him. He can have it if he wants. Whatever he wants to do, he can do it. So, I was talking before about how we like doing this show remotely and crowdsourcing without having to use our neighbors, because they probably I don't think they'd like this. I don't think my neighbors would like this. So, but what we also want to do is make it replicable, you know, so you can like 3D print your own feisty, okay sounding radio station across the miles for not a lot of money, because we need a lot more of that. And I want to replace me. I don't want to do this forever. I want to do it until there's an army of 100 people doing it as well as this. People that have good things to say. Maybe there are already that many, but I want 100 more that I build. I want to build them in my basement with my 3D radio printer. And Garrett just wrote me and said, I love that you used the term jettison. Yeah. Probably because it sounds like a sci-fi thing of, you know, throwing someone off the spaceship or something. So Randy is going to talk about cops and what he doesn't like about them. Go ahead, Randy, and the government.
Jettison. Now, if he didn't like jettison, there's other phrases like kicked to the curb, thrown under the bus.
Scraped off of your shoe. Scraped off your shoe. Oh,
yeah.
You had a question about the Fiends picture on the Freedom Fiend site. This picture we took at the Pork Fest. Well, we called it Beef Fest. It was a subsidiary, an unofficial, unconnected subsidiary of Pork Fest. It was a private function, and we did not have to wave weapons at anyone. No one tried to crash it. That girl Nicole and her boyfriend John did wander up and say hi and then leave, but we didn't say get off our property. It was at Ben Stone's campground, and Lou made some amazing beef that I bought with my Fiends money and fed the Fiends crew. And Lou was amazing. He made an amazing meal. So is there anybody else in that picture you don't immediately recognize?
You know, the fellow on the left you said was Sean, I think.
Sean Duvalli.
Is it Nikki on the far right?
Yep.
Okay, then you've got Derek and Bill and Davi. And I think I got everybody there.
Okay.
Yeah, but it would be kind of cool if it was labeled somewhere.
I'm going to label it. While you talk about what you don't like about police and the courts and American judicial system, as someone who's actually been a part of it as a prosecutor, and then you saw the light and became just a regular attorney, and you're basically an anarcho-capitalist who's an attorney working in the mean streets of the non-anarchist law system. But I'm going to upload this to the co-hosts and Showtimes page and label it of whoever
that would be
it is.
A worthwhile public service.
Yep, I'll
you
do
know
that.
I'm sure that I don't have time. We're in the second hour to say everything that I don't like about government or about the police and law enforcement.
Give it a shot.
But you know, there's this idea that people have, and I think a lot of people know it's false, that the government has a duty to protect the citizens. I mean, there's some kind of social contract thing going on where if we do this, then they'll do this, and it just isn't true. And it's interesting, the reasons behind this idea that the government does or does not have to protect us. There have been quite a few court cases. There have been cases that came up. There was like one case going back to about 1989 where a young boy was repeatedly beaten, you know, by a father, a very abusive father, and the kid would show up at the hospital with these injuries, and the hospital officials would call Department of Social Services and say they think the boy is being abused by the father, and eventually the boy is hurt very, very badly, and then a lawsuit is brought on behalf of this boy who's been hurt so bad, even though the government had repeated warnings that this boy was being abused and was going to maybe even be killed or something, and the government, you know, comes back and has a certain logic saying that they're not at fault and they have no duty to that. One of the most famous cases. But we'll be right back.
Say the name of the famous case so people can look it up on Play the Home Version.
I can't believe you asked me this. The name of the case is Synthesomphony or something like that. I was going to avoid saying the name of this case completely.
All right.
It's so impossible.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and his weird friends, tasing you with liberty since 2011. Learn more at freedomfiends.com.
Love the Fiends and want to help out? We do take donations and we put them back into our Liberty Projects. You can make a donation by clicking on the spinning coin on any post. But what if you want to help, but you ain't got no cash? Or you made a donation and you want to help more? Here's how you can help. Download and seed our torrents to help keep us drone-proof. There's a Torrent Club link at the top of freedomfiends.com. You can also blog the Fiends and share episode links on Facebook, Twitter, and elsewhere. You can rate and review our movies on Amazon and IMDb. You can rate and review the Freedom Fiends and our songs on iTunes. That really helps a lot. You can buy our movies and share them with friends or give them out as gifts. And one of the best ways to spread liberty is to buy a bunch of Freedom Fiends buttons and give them out as gifts. Wholesale prices are available, and you can also comment on our site, or better yet, comment about us on other sites. And please email the site link to all your friends. Thanks for helping spread the Fiends message worldwide to as many liberty people as you can, especially to those who don't yet get it. You rock.
Broadcasting live worldwide. bunker, broadcasting from the depths of a windowless bunker. Randy, are you there? Randy?
Did that demon eat you? I was afraid. I had to turn down my headphones for a moment.
So talk about the government and what you don't like about it, in particular this one case and what it led to.
Yeah. Well, last when we were left, you were bullying me into saying the name of this case, which I can't pronounce. It's something like Cynthia some phony or something like that. It was a case, people will know about this, at least to some extent, but there was a case in federal district court in Milwaukee back in the 90s. But one night in 1991, the Milwaukee police got this 911 call telling them that there was a beaten up young boy naked who was a 14-year-old Southeast Asian boy, which is why I couldn't pronounce his name.
Is that what the 911 call said?
Well, I don't think they said his name, but they just said there was this young boy naked and beaten. And so the police came to the call, and the fire department came, and the paramedics came. And when they got there, there was this poor kid, naked, beaten, and there was Jeffrey Dahmer, the serial killer.
Wow.
And there were a couple of women that were there that were trying to get the boy away from Dahmer and had called this in to the police. And the way the thing finally shook out was that the police ended up threatening the women to shut up because Dahmer convinced them that the boy was in his charge and told the women they were going to arrest them if they didn't shut up and just get out of their faces. They sent the fire department away. They sent everybody away, gave the boy back to Dahmer. Ugh. And they found parts of that boy in Dahmer's refrigerator sometime later when he was finally arrested.
If you want a picture of the police's duty to protect you, picture the police telling good Samaritans to shut up and handing a child over to Jeffrey Dahmer.
And threatening to arrest them if they didn't shut up.
Wow.
And later on, the boy's family brought this lawsuit to sue the Milwaukee police for letting their boy be murdered when all of the facts indicated that they should have known and this should never have happened. There was and that one, of course, everybody's heard of Jeffrey Dahmer, although he is dead now. I don't think he lasted very long in prison. But there's another case, a more recent case, I don't know, it's not 10 years old yet, where the police just repeatedly ignored calls from this mother who was calling into them, begging them to investigate what she thought was the abduction of her three young daughters by her husband, who she was divorcing at the time, and there was a restraining order against him. And even though she called over and over, they did absolutely nothing. They refused to investigate, refused to do anything. And finally, some hours went by. The husband finally showed up at the police station, went in, opened fire inside the police station. He was killed in the gunfight. And they went out front of the police station, looked in his truck, and there were the three daughters. He'd killed all three of them.
Ugh.
And, of course, the mother, you know, brought the lawsuit saying, look, I begged you for so all this time, begged you that my daughters were in danger and you did absolutely nothing and now this is what happened. And, of course, there's, you know, more cases, but this is basically the thing. All these cases are brought under, well, the due process clause of the 14th Amendment, which says, you know, no state shall deprive any person of life, liberty, or property without due process of law. Now, this is, you know, it's kind of weird in that the state, as you know, I mean, where this is going is that the state has declared that it has no duty to protect these people. I mean, the government here is really super schizophrenic. I mean, most of the time, they've got their nose in everything. But when it came to this situation where somebody's suing them, I see nothing.
Yeah.
You know, then they come back and they go, oh, no, folks, you do not understand, you know, what the Constitution says. This clause of the 14th Amendment was intended to prevent the government from abusing its power or using the government as an instrument, you know, of oppressing the people. And you're not talking about the government against the people, which is the only real reason for the Constitution to protect the citizens.
Well, it's the only real reason for the Bill of Rights. I mean, the Constitution, the rest of it, pretty much sets up the, for them to do whatever they want. There's not a lot of... My understanding from reading the Constitution is that aside from the Bill of Rights, the only checks and balances in the part of it before that, the proper, the Constitution proper as it was written originally, the only checks and balances in it are the idea of different people, you know, different parts of the government or different legislatures within one part of the government checking each other. But there's very little checks and balances in the original Constitution.
Yeah, checks and balances. I mean, the idea, you know, gets a little bit ridiculous when you have, say, a criminal courtroom. And in the courtroom, here's the defendant, and he may have his own attorney, but here's the state who is bringing the charges, and the guy's bringing the charges works for the state. And then there's the guy sitting up there in the robe. It's his job to be fair and impartial. And, of course, he works for exactly the same guy that the prosecutor works for, the state. I mean, in any other thing of life, I mean, just imagine any place, people would be scratching their head going, okay, you know, we understand that the judge, you know, may be an honest person, but why would you even tempt, you know, even an honest person with a conflict of interest like that? I mean, it's kind of silly.
Yeah. And people,
and yet
people complain, you know, a lot of people want to get back to their Constitution. Don't really think about what that means. What that means is, you know, I mean, we're at the Constitution. This is what it results in, because politics attracts, you know, gives power and attracts, and power attracts lunatics. Or even if people get in there with some kind of a good heart, they quickly become very corrupt. And there are no checks and balances when everybody's fighting for corruption, for corruption, not against corruption.
Well, you know, even if you forget about for a moment, you know, the Whiskey Rebellion and the Alien and Sedition Acts, which were at the very founding of the country, you know, these horrible things that happened under the Constitution when it was brand spanking new. But there's this fantasy out there that if we could just get back to the old days, it would be good. And I mean, I can remember times when I felt that way very, very much. It only after a while, though. I mean, you can only live in this world so long before you finally say, this is never going to happen.
Yeah.
And if, by a miracle, like if the stopwatch could be reset and we had that Constitution back in our hands again, the only thing we could say is, it'll just get screwed up and we'll be back where we are. So if we ever get a chance to go back, we don't go back to that. We go back to something that can't be corrupted. And the only thing that can't be corrupted is nothing.
Yeah,
and that's what
yeah.
we.
Yeah, I mean, I was putting on my minarchist hat for a minute and pretending that there was, you know, anything ethical about having dead people you never met scribble stuff on paper and have you born into it and have it not be slavery. Soft slavery, you know, that's getting harder.
Yes, soft slavery, yes, yes. Well, you know, they, like I said, the government has, the only time the government has any, back to the thing about protecting people, the only time they found that the government has to protect you is if the government has themselves put you in a vulnerable situation. If they take you and lock you in a mental institution, then they have to feed you and protect you. If they take you and lock you in a prison, they have to. But
yeah,
if someone is transporting,
you know, when they're transporting a high profile prisoner from court to court or jail to court, they put a bulletproof vest on him. Although I think part of that is just theater to be like, look how dangerous this person is to influence potential jurors.
Yeah. Yeah. It sure feels that way, doesn't it, when it happens?
Yeah.
I don't doubt that that they really enjoy that. They love the perp walk, and they're always looking at a way, and the cops that get to do it, you know, that's kind of a thing.
It's like the red, you know, what red carpet walks are for actors, the perp walk is for a cop or an attorney, prosecutor.
That's right. And, you know, what else do they have? I mean, yeah, even the prosecutors, I've seen them get involved in the perp walk, too. It's kind of disgusting. The only time that I ever had a chance to be involved in the political side of being a prosecutor is I actually ran for elected prosecutor once. And thank heavens, I lost. And I hope that was a sign.
Did you have any kind of, like, liberty-mindedness by then? Were you trying to, like, get in there and fix it?
in most areas, I definitely was down on the government and thought they were all over us too much and would not have been willing to enforce a lot of things. But the one thing that I was still into at that point was the drug war. That was still a villainish thing, and I mean I have to confess that. And I finally got out of that. I eventually realized that it was a useless thing. I mean, no matter how you feel about it, it's almost impossible to say that it's doing any good, and it does a lot of harm. So where are you? You know, I mean, I would think a person who wasn't a libertarian could turn against the drug war simply because it costs so much money and does no good.
Well, I'm intrigued that there are actually a very few kind of old school conservatives who are kind of coming out against the drug war right now because they are fiscally conservative and they realize it's just wasting a lot of taxpayer money. One is, what's the guy's name? He's an ultra religious guy who was an advisor to Reagan. Do you know who I'm talking about?
Oh, wow.
That could be anybody, but yeah, go on.
I'm not sure who that would be. I don't know. I don't know, but I don't know. That's about all I had to say about that. But they don't... you know, I got out of that. I don't like to think about it, but I keep coming back to it in a way. I guess we all got where we are, you know, in one way or another.
With that duty to protect thing, wasn't there actually a third test case that was in the District of Columbia where somebody was breaking into some woman's house and she called the cops and they literally stopped for donuts on the way and she was murdered by the time they got there?
You know, I haven't read that one, but I think I might have heard something about it too. But there have been a lot of cases, not that many that went all the way up to the U.S. Supreme Court. But it doesn't really matter now because they've made it completely clear that they have absolutely no duty to protect you from anyone, anywhere, unless they were the ones that caused the original danger.
And even then, they don't usually do it. All right, we'll be back.
They don't have to stop eating donuts.
We'll be back with the redemption in the third act after this trip to the market.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends. Go to freedomfiends.com to help keep it drone-proof. Creamy Radio Audio. Want caviar sound on a cat food budget? Creamy Radio Audio by the Freedom Fiends has great free tips so you can sound like a pro without spending like one. The most powerful form of human communication is one person speaking to another. But if people have to suffer through your sound, they'll change the channel and miss your message. With articles on microphones, preamps, recorders, mastering, recording remotely over the internet, doing a podcast, even getting a show on actual radio, the Freedom Fiends show you what they use and where to get it. Whether you're a talk show host, voiceover artist, podcaster, evangelist, or just want to record your loved ones for the ages, at Creamy Radio Audio, the Freedom Fiends will help you make the most of your sound. Creamy Radio Audio will help you speak to the world with sound that will make people want to keep listening. Check out creamyradioaudio.com. That's creamyradioaudio.com.
Come back, radio. Come back. Is that your Wampus cat call, Randy?
That was the Wampus Cat, yes.
So that's on your cell phone? Is that like an app you bought for 99 cents, or what is that?
No, it's just it's a Wampus Cat that I downloaded.
That's awesome. It's a cougar call, I think.
I didn't download the whole cat, just the...
So we were talking during the break about, Randy said, I don't know if I'm a voluntarist or an anarcho-capitalist, and I joked and said, you're an anarcho-capitalist because you wear a tie. Voluntarists are hippies. But no, that's not always true. And really, I really think, you know, of all the different words for what we are, anarcho-capitalist, voluntarist, libertarian, anarchist, no government man is one I really like. The word voluntarist, I think, is the most solid for what you and I are, Randy. But I don't know. It just kind of sounds like a... a young people thing. We're old people.
Well, so. Yeah, and it sounds like we want to join the Peace Corps.
Build a habitat for humanity. Yeah. All these phrases have problems of perception. I mean, if you say anarcho-capitalist to most people, it sounds like a mixture of the two worst things in the world. And people just misunderstand because they think anarchists are leftist communists who want to blow things up, and they think capitalists are, you know, the guy on, you know, Mr. Burns is basically what they think from The Simpsons. So I think voluntarist, though, is really the one that cuts to the root and really absolutely includes the non-aggression principle, because it means you think everything should be done voluntarily. And I also think you could be a voluntarist communist. You could be live in a commune with, you know, 200 or 300 other people, not steal from anybody else, and totally be a voluntarist and totally live within the non-aggression principle. Whereas saying you're anarcho-capitalist sounds like you have decided, as the libertarian central planner of the world, that all monetary systems in the world, even voluntary ones in closed environments, must be capitalist, which is not really voluntarist. So what say you, sir?
Well, I don't know. You know, the term voluntarist could be really valuable. I mean, there are certain people, I think, that if you said the word anarchist, bang, you're getting this prejudice thing, and they think
like
they know what it
means. I like
saying anarchist,
though, because I like pushing
people. You want to shock somebody,
I guess,
sure.
I do. You know, it's not necessarily wanting to shock people. It's kind of macho libertarian flash, you know. It's kind of that same thing of if someone says, I think marijuana should be decriminalized, I come back with, I think heroin should be legally available in vending machines to children, you know.
You don't just say that to tweak me. You see, I wouldn't have a punishment for doing that, but I don't think they should be in vending machines. You know, I would... If you put up vending machines, I don't know if I, with heroin in them, I don't know if I would associate with you.
I didn't say I would do it. I said I don't see any reason why they should.
Oh, somebody else would do it. No,
I'll take it further than I don't see any reason why there shouldn't be. I think there should be, but I wouldn't put them up, and I probably wouldn't use them. I might use them if I was, you know, had a bad toothache and it was a Friday and I couldn't get to a dentist till Sunday or something.
Well, you could just go to your friendly neighborhood pharmacist, too.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
Since they would be unregulated completely. No, I think the one thing good about the word voluntarist in that people don't know what it means is that if someone asks you about what you believe, you could say, I'm a voluntarist. And you get to talk.
Yeah.
So that could be good. And, you know, you called me an anarcho-capitalist earlier. And, you know, I don't have a problem with that, except that I think an anarcho-capitalist mixes two things together that are of different levels. Anarchy is the basic thing. It's like the non-aggression principle. It's like voluntarism. And then capitalism is just like... Oh, well, that would be the economic system people would mostly have under a voluntarist or anarchist society. And so when you mix them together, it's like, yeah, you could say anarcho-capitalism and mostly be right, but capitalism isn't essential. And also capitalism turns people off because they're thinking of the system we have now and not true capitalism. I just soon use the words free market.
Yeah,
over capitalism.
I like to just say the market, because free market is co-opted by people who aren't free market, like Republicans and Democrats.
And we're going to the market here very soon, aren't we?
Yeah, for till tomorrow night. It's been a good time.
Tomorrow night.
Thank you very much, sir.
Well, I had a great time too. Have a good night.
Thank you for your service.
Worms. Yeah.
Worms. Give me some more.
Good night.
Good night. And good luck.